Well, good morning, Saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute. And we are sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. We want to welcome you to our Thursday morning edition as we continue along these lines that we started earlier this week on application of the kingdom of God. In other words, you know, we now know what the kingdom of God is. So now we need application, understanding the application of how the kingdom of God works. Amen. We know what it is, but when it comes to actually putting steps of faith in motion to receive the promise, to receive what is rightfully ours, I think that's where the pushback comes in. That's where the fear or the indecisiveness comes in, because we don't know whether or not we have it when we pray. We don't know whether or not it will come to us, as it says, especially if faith is delayed. When your faith is delayed for a promise, then patience will have to be employed to keep you steady. Amen. And so this morning, let's make our faith confession as we get into the lesson this morning. Say it out loud with me once again. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever, whom the Lord has redeemed from the hands of the enemy. Again, I want to say welcome. Thank you for our Thursday morning edition. This is week one in dealing with the subject application of the kingdom of God. In other words, this lesson is intended to demonstrate, to illustrate to you the works of the kingdom, how the kingdom works. Amen. And so the best way to do that is to do what is to give you scripture of showing you what it is. And then if you can see what it is, then you automatically know what it's not. Amen. And so we've been using Matthew chapter 6 as our opening scriptures. But yesterday and day before, I begun to share with you along the lines of showing you what, demonstration or illustration of the kingdom of God. And so let's just go back to Matthew chapter 6, and let's just look here at, we cover verses 19 through 21 of Matthew chapter 6. So let's go over here to let's start here at verse 21, probably, Matthew 6. And I'm going to read some of this to you out of the Amplified version, Classic Amplified. So if you have a Classic Amplified Bible, you can get it out and you can follow along with me. So again, we have already covered verses 19 through 21. We've actually gone through verse 22. But let's just go back and just look at verse 21. Because here Jesus said here, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now he's talking about the heart a keeping thing that is able to, what thieves can break through. Well, who is the thief? Satan. The Bible said Satan is a thief. You know, John 8:44, they'll talk about the devil. He's a thief, and he was a thief from the beginning. And so what is his memorandum? It is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so that's what Jesus said, don't lay up. He said, don't lay up in verse 20 or 19 to say, do not gather and heap to yourselves up on stone, you know, for yourself where there's treasure, you know, yourselves are treasure on earth where moth and rust and worm do consume. He said, and destroy, and where thieves break through and steal, but gather up. Heap up and store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor worm can consume and destroy, and where thieves do not break through and steal. So the only way that you can do that is that we have, our heart has to be set on the things of the kingdom, okay? So I believe that when God breathed into man or spoke into man the nostrils of his nostrils, the life, the Bible talked about how that when God breathed into man and he became a living soul, that means spirit and soul. The soul probably was there, but it didn't have life until God breathed into man and gave the soul along with the spirit life, the body life. So the body can't live without the spirit. The soul is that functioning part for you and I in this physical body, okay? And so the soul is what's been contaminated. The soul is what constantly needs to be cleansed, need to be washed from contaminants of the day, you know, sometime of the hour. Now, you don't wash the soul like you wash your body with soap and water. You wash the soul with the washing of the water of the word, because there are things that will contradict your new belief, your new standing, as the righteousness of God. And so therefore you will hear things sometime of tradition, sometime of your religious background, sometime they could be legalistic, and not realizing that these things are robbers of your freedom. They're robbers of the liberty of whom you are. And so then you put yourself back up under the letter of the law, trying to perform, thinking that your action will be a performance of those things that come to pass, but your action is not the proof of your faith. See, your faith is what gives you, give action. Your faith is what gives you the confidence, that gives you the assurance. And once you have the confidence and assurance, then faith has an act. Your action will be based upon your conviction, based upon your belief, based upon how you see. But to say that because what the word said, then I'm going to act upon it, your action won't change your condition. Your action are just a result of your belief. It's just a result of your conviction, of what the word of God says. And it's important that we understand that. Excuse me, because sometimes we would get the two mixed up. We'll think that, well, take for an example, if you're on medication, you'll say, well, I'm going to throw my medicine away because that will show God I'm in faith. No, it won't. Your medicine, throwing your medicine away doesn't show that you're in faith. What shows you that you're in faith is that you have taken the word and you have meditated upon it. You have a revealed knowledge of the word, seeing yourself healed. And then based upon you seeing yourself according to the word, because faith has to come through the word. Faith doesn't come by your acting. It doesn't come by your action. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when you hear the word of God, or you are strengthened with the word of God, now your faith requires an act. And whatever that act is, you would do it based upon your conviction or belief that the word of God has proven to you that is real, okay? And that's why Hebrews 11:1 talk about being the proof of those things that we do not see. So trying to produce an action to say, I believe God, the application of trusting God, you know, I'm going to throw my medicine away, or I'm going to stop doing. But no. Now, your faith can bring you to a place that you no longer need the medication. But to say that I'm going to stop taking the medication, so that I can get in faith. Well, no, that's seed going to ignorant, because the medicine not going to heal you. But the medicine will hold you. It'll maintain some integrity, some type of health, until the body itself is strengthened. And what causes the body to be strengthened? When you understand that you have this new covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you begin to understand the laws that govern this body, that this body was created by God. It was not created to be sick or created to be weak or broke or be destitute. When you understand that and you get a revelation of that, then you will become fighting mad within yourself and begin to start meditating on this word, begin to start looking at this word. And then all of a sudden, it's the word of God itself presents you the image of God's original snapshot that he has of you and I. But if we don't ever get there, it's not to say that God doesn't love you, doesn't say that God won't work through you. It's just that you have made a decision, say, well, I'm all right taking this medicine. Well, if you're all right with it, then God would be all right with it too. Why? Because he won't violate your choice. But again, to put ourselves in position to think that I have to do something, I have to act by doing something to prove that I have faith. No, you can't prove that you have faith through your action. Your actions prove that you have faith in God's word. Amen? And so I know that may sound kind of confusing, confrontational, or contrary, whatever you want to call it, but it's not. When you stop and listen to it and look at it, it's the same thing that James was trying to show, that James had on one side of the coin, James' faith was showing that how our faith itself is alone in God, but then faith is really never alone, because when you look at 1 Thessalonians 1:3 or 1 Thessalonians 2:1, it goes to show that our faith works. Amen. Our work is by our faith, meaning this, is that I'm not trying to prove anything. It's that my faith has brought me to a place of action. My faith has brought me to a place of standing. And so properly understanding these truths about what James was trying to get out about faith without works, he's not talking about a work based on the law. He's not talking about a work based on self-performance or self-identity. His work that James was speaking of is to reveal that, you know, if you are in faith, then it will have an action like Abraham. Abraham was made righteous and received the word of God by faith before his faith was completed. What brought Abraham's faith to completion? In Genesis 22, and I think it's like verses, you can read the whole chapter of Genesis 22, verses 1 through 16 at least. Verse 16, which indicates to show that Abraham's faith was completed when Isaac was put up on that altar and he was ready to kill Isaac, his only son. But when God saw, you see what Abraham's action was. Abraham just putting his son up there on the altar, that wasn't the proof that he had faith. Abraham's faith of putting his son on that altar was that he believed God. And so the action or the work required for God, as God said, now put your only son, take your only son and provide him as a sacrifice. That was the work. That was the action to Abraham's faith. But for Abraham just to say, I'm going to take my child and I'm going to kill my child before, show God that how much I love him, show God how much I believe. Nope. That's not going to put you in faith. And some people have done that. And that's the reason why we have the backlash, or people are afraid to live by faith and thinking that faith is spooky or that faith is whatever. No. Faith is in what God's word says. It's up to you and I to gain three components whereby we know we're in faith. Number one, we have to have knowledge. Now, I'm not talking about an intellectual knowledge. I'm talking about a knowledge that reveals, a knowledge that gives you insight, a knowledge that builds anointing inside of you, just like you can put your shirt on and button your shirt without looking at yourself button your shirt. You know, at one time when we were very small, you know, I can remember my mom teaching me how to button my shirt, because there were times that, hey, my shirt was buttoned wrong. But when she showed me how to do it and I begun to practice buttoning that shirt, well, now I can button my shirt. I can put it on. I could be walking, you know, getting other things done and not even looking to see. Why? I have a revealed knowledge. That's in the natural. I have a revealed knowledge of that, knowing that my shirt is buttoned. I can put it in my pants without even looking at it. Why? Because that confident. So that confident of knowing that my shirt is buttoned, I can take it now. I put my tuck my shirt in my pants, and then all of a sudden I can go on about my business. Well, that's the action. But you know, it doesn't work the opposite way. It doesn't work to just to say, well, I'm gonna button my shirt just to show that, you know, I'm in faith. No. I'm able to button my shirt by faith. You understand what I'm saying? Because I have a revealing action. I have a knowledge, an understanding. There are just so many other illustrations that you could just, you can give. I mean, you know, like one brother give an illustration about tea. You know, the tea bag. You say, well, let's make some tea. Well, the tea is in the bag. But then you take the hot water, you put the tea in the bag. I mean, the bag in the hot water. Now the water become tea. And then the bag, you get rid of the tea bag, you throw away, but the tea is in the water. So if you understand that concept, that's the same thing about our faith is with God. Faith is acting on the word of God. And then our action, when we have that confidence in it, then guess what? We act accordingly, okay? And so James and Paul were speaking in the same light, but they've given two different profound truths of one side of the coin of faith versus the other side. Same coin, but they have two different sides. Same, like a mountain. Same mountain, but both sides are different, but it's the same truth. It's the same mountain. Can you see what I'm saying? And so here, as we look back over here in Matthew again, chapter 6, he said, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He said, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is sound, then the entire body will be filled with light. So we now know that's understanding. He said, but if your eye is unsound, see, then your whole body will be unsound. Your whole body will be full of darkness. He's not talking about your physical aspect. He's talking about your understanding about a spiritual truth. Okay, watch this. He said, if then the very light in your conscience is darkened, how dense is that darkness? Can you see? He's talking about your conscience. He's talking about your soul. See, your conscience has to bear witness. You follow what I'm saying? Because your conscience has been purged from dead works, according to Hebrews 9:14, Hebrews 10:3, and 10:23. Your conscience is pure now, but the blood of Jesus purified your conscience through his death, his burial, his resurrection, and ascension at the right hand of the Father. Now, I can put my conscience back under, you know, being condemned. If I continue to violate my conscience, if you violate your conscience, then it's like you violating the truth in God's word, because your conscience is sort of like the first line of offense and defense in you trusting God at his word. So if you don't really trust the word of your conscience, trust your conscience as leading and guiding you as a believer, not as an unsaved person. An unsaved person can't use their conscience because it's already been contaminated. But a saved person can trust their conscience. And if you don't learn to trust your conscience as a means to guide you, then how would you be able to say, I'm going to make a stand up on the word of God, or I'm going to wait to hear from God? when your conscience is the first voice or first mean of hearing the voice of God. And we'll talk about that in another lesson about hearing God, hearing from God. But I want you to see this here. So he says again, let's look at verse 23. He said, but if your eye is unsound, your whole body will be filled with darkness. If then the very light in you, see, your conscience is darkened, how dense is that darkness? And again, where does that darkness come from? It comes from the God of this world system. Are you following what I'm saying? He come to do three things, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What is it? He don't want you and I to walk out, to live in the kingdom of God. He don't want the kingdom of God to be demonstrated through you and I. He wants to paint a picture through your memory of your mindset that your mental disposition already have. And most of our mental disposition have a mind, a picture of failure, picture that struggle, various means of always attaching to the flesh. But you, in order to have a renewed mindset to demonstrate to excuse me, the application of the kingdom of God, your mind has to be renewed with the word of God. Why? Because your mind is not, it does not retain the knowledge of God. You have to teach it to retain the knowledge of God. I'm not teaching my spirit. I'm not looking for my spirit to retain. Now, it has the very essence of the knowledge of God, the very essence of understanding of who God is, the essence of God's wisdom, God's love, the victory that we have in Christ. But my soul doesn't, nor do my body. But it can through teaching, through understanding. Amen. And so here in verse 24, he said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise and be against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, meaning deceitful riches, money, possession, or whatever is you trust in. And, you know, and that's where we mainly in America, we trust in money. We trust in riches. We trust in our talents, our abilities to do what? To give us, to afford us a wealthy life or somewhat whatever we desire. And I get it. But as a believer, when you really understand about the kingdom of God, and I'm still growing in this myself every day, our trust should be in that kingdom. So the more time, as we talked about in Mark 4, and I know we stopped off in Mark 4, but, you know, just looking back over here, Mark 4 and verse 24, it says, he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear. Notice what it said. The measure of thought that I give to the truth. So if it's on finances, if it's on money, if it's on me trusting God, whatever that may be, whatever that look like, whatever measure of thought and study I give to it, notice what it said, that you give to the truth you hear will be measure, it, notice it, will be the measure of the virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear or who understand. So you see what I'm saying? So there's something I must do. So what is it that, number one, Jesus said, be careful what you're listening to. Be careful who you're hearing. In other words, just like myself, I'm to be careful what you hear me saying. That's why I give you all these verses of scriptures, and I try to do line upon line as close as I can to the content of what the subject is speaking of, so you can go back and look at it. And by all means, I did not exhaust the full meaning of everything in it, but I gave you enough information to see and show you that this is the right track. This is the right stand. And so here, the first thing Jesus said, be careful what you're hearing. Now you can tie all this, these parables together in what Jesus is saying here about the kingdom of God. So the first thing I have to do is what? If I want to have kingdom application, I need to be careful what I'm hearing. Number two, the manifestation that I receive out of the kingdom of God is going to be through the measure of thought and study I give to the truth I hear. Okay? Let me say it to you again. If I'm going to walk in true manifestation of the kingdom of God, regardless of what it is, it's going to be measured by the thought and study of the truth that I hear. So it's not me just hearing, but faith will come for that truth that I'm hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. So my faith, notice it, my faith will increase understanding. My faith will increase revelation knowledge, will bring cause revelation knowledge to come. And then therefore, faith will cause wisdom, will give me the ability through the revelation knowledge of the truth, will give me the ability how to use what I already know. We do it in the natural, and it's the same principle in the realm of the spirit. The only thing in the natural, I can see it, as Hebrews 11, 1 say, being the proof of things we do not see. In the realm of the spirit, you don't see it. You see words. But if you use your imagination, because words paint a picture. So two things God gave us, image and likeness in Genesis 1:26. So the image and likeness that God gave us was to do what? Was to show how everything he produced, he called it. And then once he called, he looked at it and saw. It produced, it brought forth fruit according to how God spoke it. Well, your words will bring forth fruit according to how you speak. You are able to see in your imagination the words you're speaking. That's how understanding comes. That's how you know, you and I know how to carry out certain things. You know, if we were driving somewhere, we may know different places that we're driving in our cities or community. Well, I don't need a map. I have a revealing knowledge where it is. There are several routes that I can take. I got so good that several routes that I can take to get to where I need to go. So wisdom gives me the ability to do what? To apply what I already know. That's in the natural. But that same principle works in the realm of the spirit through the word of God. Because that principle came from the word of God. But because we're more physical, we're more natural, we're more carnal. That doesn't mean you're an evil person, but you're just more natural. Then what happens is that we put more into what I can see, what I can hear, than what I can't see and what I can't hear. You follow what I'm saying? Or what I can't touch. But in the spirit, it is just as so, because what you rely on, what you see and hear, it came from this same realm. And that's the reason why I'm trying to get you to understand it, because your natural mind won't let you conceive this. Your mind has to be renewed. There are some things that have to be, you know, you have to have have to be demolized. You know what I mean? To, you know, if you wanted to build a new building or build a new room, sometimes you have to demolish. Well, there are some thoughts, there are some ideas, there are some concepts, there are some old ways of that you have to demolish in yourself before you can build this new concept, this new way of thinking. Because your old way of thinking are the old leaven. That's what Jesus was talking about. You know, be careful of the leaven of the Pharisee. That leaven, that old way of thinking, it won't allow you to build a new idea. Why? Because leaven will keep you just the old truth, the old way of thinking. It won't let you think differently. You know, this is the way grandma did it. This is the way mama did it. Well, this is the way I'm going to do it. You know, it's like the old story about the great grandma cut the ham, cut the end off the ham, and always, you know, before she put it in the stove, in a pot, and she always cut the end of the ham. Well, no one understood why she cut the end of the ham off. Well, then the daughter, the grandma of her mom, she did the same thing. And then the mom did the same thing of her grandmother. And then the daughter asked the mama, well, mom, why did you cut the ham? She said, well, I don't know. That's always what grandma did. So, well, grandma was still alive. So what they did, they went back and asked grandma, well, grandma, why did big mama cut the ham? Great grandma always cut the end of the ham, and I saw you do the same. She said, oh, it was simple, baby. The pan was not big enough. See, we do things and not realize why we do it. But, you know, if you have a big enough pan, you don't cut the end of, I don't think grandma threw the end of the ham away. She probably put it in another pan or whatnot. But, you know, she cut the end off because it didn't fit. Well, that's the same thing with tradition and old religion and legalistic would do to us. You know, it would tell us, okay, yeah, you got this, but this got to be done. You have to add this. No. And so I hope you got that concept and understood what I was saying there. So he said, the first thing, if you're going to have application and walking in these things, you got number one, you got to be careful how you hear. Okay? Number two, the measure of thought you give to the truth you hear, that's going to be important. How much time you devote to say, I believe that God prosper us, God heal my body. Number three, it said, then it will be, now, number three would be the measure of knowledge, virtue, and knowledge that will come back to you. In other words, whatever time you put in, the endurance, the virtue, the knowledge, the confidence will come back to you because what, you spent time in it. I mean, just like, you know, I know how to run a half marathon. I'm confident that I can run, you know, a half marathon whenever I like. I know I have a revealing knowledge to do that. Well, I wouldn't do that. With the first thing, I had to build endurance in running. It's not all the time trying to run so far, but just following a plan. As my endurance picked up, I'm strengthened. I have more confidence. I begin to start thinking in a broader light that I can go further. My body is telling me to keep going. What is taking place? Because I give time into what I was listening. I gave time to the thought and study of what I was doing. And then one day, I just went after it. Didn't know that I was going to do 13 miles, but just went after it and boom. Now, it's always there, you know, are we going to do a half marathon? When are you going to do the next half marathon? Well, it's coming up that I'm going to run 13 miles again very soon. Okay? But it's never putting pressure on saying, I got to, no. What I've been hearing, the thought and study, the nutrition I put in my body, the time of rest, the things that I do, and it brings me to a place that I'm confident and the body is saying, I'm ready. The mind is saying, I'm ready. Let's do it. So I have a confidence that I can do that. Now, that's a natural phenomenon. It's the same thing with the Word of God. Are you seeing that? And then once you have virtue knowledge, it said, that come back to you and more besides will be given to you. See, more light, more insight. And that's what this right here is saying here in verse 24. Verse 25 goes on to tell us in Matthew 6, going back, it said, therefore I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, worry about your life and what you to eat, what you should drink, or what about your body, what you should put on. Is not life greater in quality than food, and the body is far above more excellent that clothing than clothing. What is this? It's not saying that clothing is not important. It's not saying that eating is not important. It's telling you that whereas when you have understanding, as we started in verse 19 and come on down here, it is dealing with your heart. If I'm going to have application of saying I'm kingdom minded, you know, sometimes we say, you know, I'm a kingdom person, or I'm kingdom minded, or we got a kingdom gathering. Well, kingdom gathering is that when you have a kingdom gathering, that just simply means that's people living by the word of the kingdom, living by the king, kingship, living by the king dominion, living by the king authority, his way of rule. And notice it, and we get the result. See, we can't say that we're living, you know, we're walking in the kingdom of God and don't have the results. Because when you live in the kingdom of God, that gotta be result, that gotta be fruit. Now you may not have the fullness of in all areas, but there ought to be some progression, there ought to be some proof, there ought to be evidence that the kingdom of God is at work in you and I. We know the kingdom is in your spirit. It's born of God. But to manifest the kingdom has to come through your inner heart, your soul, your mind. It has to come through you having a revealing knowledge, having understanding, and then wisdom will give you the ability to use what you know. You don't see it, you can't touch it, you can't feel it, but in the word, because I have revelation that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, I can act on it by faith. And so my action is supported by my belief. My belief is not supported by my action. No, my belief, my action is supported by my belief. And so this is the application. And so Jesus is saying, and I have to stop because my time is up. He say again in Matthew 6 and verse 25, he said, therefore, now I tell you, therefore. So now he say, therefore, let's see what therefore is therefore. I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life. Man, I can't tell you how many times I was uneasy, I was anxious, I was worried about my life, about this. How are we going to do this? How are we going to carry out that? Until I really begun to apply these scriptures. I knew these scriptures, but I didn't know them in a manner to actually live it out, to actually make a stand on these scriptures. See, remember, when we talk, as we continue to dive into the application of the kingdom of God, you know what it is. You know that you're born of God. So the kingdom is in you, but how do I manifest that kingdom? And that's what we've been doing. And though here, right here, as we have gone, if you had not listened to the fullness of all I talked about this week, and starting in Matthew 6, 19, up to where I am in verse 25, and using other various scripture that, you know, that fit this parable, go back and start from Monday and listen to some of the things that I'm talking about, the application of this kingdom. And notice it, because I got to stop. Notice he said, in verse 25, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy. Well, what would make me perpetually uneasy, anxious, or worried about my life? Well, because that's all I can see. That's all I can think of. I have no other way of getting this weariness, this worry, this worrisome off of me. No, you do have another way, but you have to give yourself over to the truth, to the start. You have to study the truth. Again, remember, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of thought of the virtue of knowledge that will come back to you. You can't apply what you don't know. You can't have a confidence and assurance in God's word, even though he said, don't be anxious, don't be perpetually uneasy or anxious. Well, That's easily said than done. And that's why he said, don't have verse 24 say, no one can serve two masters. So he said, either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will stand by one and be devoted to one and despise the other against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And it's just talking about money. So you and I, as the righteousness of God, have to make a decision every day in the way you're going to go, in the way you're going to make a stand. And so as we dig into this, all this is, again, application of the kingdom. So if it's telling me, therefore I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life, what you should eat, what you should drink, or what your, you know, your body, or what you should put on. What is that simply telling me? Because as a king, the person born of the kingdom of God, is no longer your responsibility to be concerned about those things. It is up to God now, because you are born of that kingdom, and that kingdom, the king takes care of all of his children. Now, as we get ready to go into tomorrow morning, whatnot, I know it's getting a little bit more stronger than it was yesterday, but I just want you to understand that, see, we've been trying to do only what God himself can do for us. Yeah, we can go through the process of doing this thing, but look at the relationship it has. Look at the anxiety that we have. We have to pop a pill for this, or we have to take a drink of this, or we need something to entertain us in the natural to do what, just to calm us, just to, you know, I got it done, but man, it was, I'm so glad. I'd be so glad when the day is over. I'd be so glad when the week is in. Well, see, that's not a kingdom mindset. Because when you live by the laws of the kingdom of God, you have an open door. This is your appointed time to bring about the change so that the kingdom of God could be displayed. And it can only come through you and I. It can't come through an unrighteous person, because they're not open to it. Only you and I. So that's why the enemy will fight you in your mindset so much, through circumstances, through situations. Not just you living in outright in sin, but just keeping you busy. Just keeping you doing other things where you can't think in the light that God wants you to think, so that you can exercise those the way of the kingdom. He wants you to keep living in the flesh, thinking out of the flesh. Amen. Well, I see my time is coming gone. I hate to stop and right here, but this lesson will be on Grace Institute podcast. At the end of this lesson, I will upload this podcast and you can listen to it again over and over. And again, you can go back to this Monday, or you can go back 2 weeks from now and begin as we start talking about the kingdom of God. If you don't have the podcast of Grace Institute Online Bible School, you can go back and you can, well, just look at your own podcast, whether you have Apple, Google, whether it be iHeartRadio, whether it be Spotify, whatever it is, we're on all the major podcasts, and you can subscribe to the Grace Institute Online Bible School, and you can listen at these lessons over and over again while you're running, while you're working or whatever, or you can look at it on Facebook or whatever. So we love you. We thank God for you. And as we always say, until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. We love you now. We'll do it again tomorrow, God willing. Have a great afternoon. Bye-bye, everyone.